Today's show brought to you in part by the first Grand Three Pick'em. What is this? Well, it's a free contest where you have an opportunity to win up to $5 million by correctly picking the top four finishers, aka the Superfecta, in exact order from three huge dirt races put on by first. The Preakness, coming up obviously in just a week and a half. The California Crown, that's the renamed Goodwood Stakes, that's in the fall. And the Pegasus World Cup. There's other prizes as well. You're going to want to check this out. And if you're a horse owner, there are bonuses that you want to look at indeed as well. For the same three races on the dirt side, a $5 million bonus there. And if you win the dinner party stakes on the Preakness Undercard, the John Henry Turf, and the Pegasus World Cup Turf, that's a $2.5 million bonus. So there is a whole lot going on. Remember, the first Grand Three Pick'em Challenge is absolutely free. Get involved today. You can find the info on Preakness.com or simply go to InTheMoneyPodcast.com/grand. Special presentation from In the Money Media. This is our Monmouth preview show, opening day this Saturday, and we've got some great content for you previewing the days during the meeting you need to be circling on your calendar, as well as some analysis of the late pick five for this opening day Saturday. Sounds like I'm going to be there in person. JK will be there in person. If you're around, find us, say hello. We're so excited about our partnership with Monmouth. Monmouth were one of the first three sponsors we ever had at In the Money Media, one of the clients that made us think, hey, maybe we can make a go of this. So folks don't all know this story, but when we started out, very much flying by the seat of our pants, basically decided on a whim to keep this podcast going when we left our friends at the place with the letters. And it was like, well, are we going to do this for a month? Well, we've been doing it for 5 years and we're going strong. And support of partners like Monmouth is part of the reason. Also, support of listeners like you. So thank you for tuning in. Usually I thank everybody at the end of the show. I'll thank you at the beginning of the show because it's true. Not only do you make the shows fun to do, but you support us in so many different ways. Okay, preamble out of the way. Let's get to our first guest.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the In the Money Players podcast. Monmouth is back and we are back covering them over here. Very, very excited about it. Peter Thomas Fornital back with you from my dad's old office on Long Island, getting ready to head back into the bunker later today, a little bit later in the show. JK will be here. We're going to be going over the late pick five on opening day this Saturday at Monmouth Park on the beautiful Jersey Shore. But before we get to that, I want to bring in a man we often bring in when it comes to talking about all things having to do with Monmouth Park. He's Brian Skirka. Brian, what's the mood down there on the Jersey Shore?
It is excitement mixed with that little nervousness of opening day is a couple days away and we're not all the way there yet. You know, we will be, of course, we always are, but there's still that, you know, we still have a couple things to do, but it's mostly super exciting. It's been a long 8 months of winter and now, you know, summer is right around the corner. The weather is turning warmer and racing is back at the Jersey Shore. And you know, this is our favorite time of year. So we're ready to go and we're excited.
I'm pumped. The weather in this part of the world teasing us a little bit. We had the 85 and sunny yesterday and it felt like summer. Today it feels back like spring. Hopefully we're going to get very fortunate with the weather. I know I, for one, am looking forward to taking at least a couple of trips down there. It's always so fun. You know, my preferred method. Yeah, the train goes right there from the city, but I love taking the boat. I love sea streaking it down there and going to Atlantic Highlands and then Ubering over. I may do that as soon as Saturday, depending on what the family plans are and how I can convince them. But one of the things I want to talk to you about straight away is the big news, the way Monmouth is being covered, changing this year. And I, you know, no offense to the old folks who covered it and did a great job, but I'm very excited about what comes next. What can you tell us about your new broadcasting partnership?
Yeah, we're excited too. And exactly what you said, no shade on our previous partner, but we're super excited looking forward. We are going to be part of Fox Sports' America's Day at the Races. So we've partnered with Naira. Obviously, they're tremendous show that all the Naira races are on Fox, and Monmouth Park is super excited to be a part of that show now. So they will have, they meaning the Naira team, the Fox team, will have a group here on site, you know, through the Saratoga meet. From what I've seen, it's some combination of Paula Duca, Lafitte Pinkai, Rajiv Mirage. I'm sure JK will make at least a video appearance on a show or two. So we're super excited about that. And then obviously once Saratoga starts, you know, Naira's main focus completely understandably goes up to Saratoga. We'll still be on the show, maybe a stakes race here or feature few races. But we're super excited to be part of that show, just as a unbiased fan. You know, I'm a big fan of watching the show. They give out great information. So to be able to work with them marketing wise and also sponsorship wise, Naira Bets is now going to be the sponsor of the Haskell and also the Pegasus Stakes on Haskell Preview Day. So it makes too much sense. You know, we're located, you know, a few miles away as the crow flies, you know, Aqueduct and Belmont, a little further for Saratoga, but we're right in the same region. We've been, you know, business friends, you know, behind the scenes for a long, long time. So now we're kind of bringing that more to the forefront and being partners and doing some good TV stuff, as you said, but also on the wagering front, not to jump ahead, but part of our deal with them is every day that we race between Mama and Naira, there's going to be a cross country pick five consisting of, you know, a couple of our races and a couple of their races. So that is something that's very exciting too. I think we've, you know, going back a few years, we were in some of them, but not all of them. And, you know, was gracious to be part of what we were, but now every single Monmouth Park race day, there will be a cross country pick five, including Monmouth and Naira.
That's so great. That was my next question, was to ask you about that specifically. We have Eric Solomon on the website once again, inthemoneypodcast.com, covering Monmouth every day you guys run. Definitely might want to see if he wants to put an emphasis on some of those races or that bet specifically, because as we've discussed, those are just great opportunities for horse players in terms of the economic terms and just game selection-wise. It feels like all the data I've seen, the sharpest money doesn't appear in those pools, therefore making it a better opportunity for, you know, the warriors, the people out there like us on the, in the money side, pumping money through the windows. I'm going to be looking at those bets almost every day. What can we expect in terms of when those races will be released? Will there be special PPs, anything like that on the marketing side for that cross country?
Yeah, I'm not 1,000% sure, to be honest. I would just, so that the bet is hubbed and basically under Naira's control. So gotcha. However it has been typically, I feel like, again, just as a fan, as you said, you know, I'm a player, so I'll play those races well. I feel like maybe late Thursday, early Friday for like the Saturday cross country. You know, we draw entries same as them, Wednesday for Saturday. This week was one day early because it's opening day. But in a typical week, we draw Wednesday for Saturday. So I feel like somewhere in the late Thursday, early Friday realm is typically when those races for the Saturday cross country pick five will be announced. But again, it's every day. So we're not running Fridays here at Monmouth until the middle of June. But once we start running Fridays, there'll be a Friday cross country pick five. So I would say like 24 to 36 hours prior to the race day, you know, you'll know the sequence.
Well, we'll talk about this off-air production meeting outside the show, but it might be cool if we can get some of Eric's analysis specifically on the pick five bets linked to maybe from both you guys and Naira, just as an extra way to promote that and just beat the drum and keep the word going. I think that the consistency of that is really cool. And, you know, just getting the info out there is going to help a lot. You gave us the lowdown on the schedule in terms of adding Fridays. That was on my list of questions. So I think it's time to go to some of the anticipated meet highlights. Obviously, opening day coming up. I want you to let us know if there's anything special going on for that. And then not too far in the distant future, within a month, we have one of the most popular contests in all of America, the Pick Your Prize. So if you can tell us about those two things for starters.
Sure, yeah. So opening day is this Saturday, as you said. First race this year on weekends is 12:50. So last year it was 12:40. So we're just moving back a little bit. I think the plan this year is to run 10 races a day on the quote unquote average day on the big days, which we'll get to, Haskell Day, Haskell Preview Day, you know, we'll run more races. But I think our standard program is going to be 10 races, whereas in past years we tried to basically cram as many races in as possible. And those days are just, you know, too long in my opinion and others' opinion here. So we're kind of going to stick with a 10 race card, which means we can start a little bit later, 12:50. We'll end around, you know, 5:30-ish. Another tremendous thing that comes from the NYRA partnership and the America's Day at the Races partnership is now post times are going to be coordinated between us and NYRA. So it's basically going to be, I'm generalizing, but you know, every 15 minutes where, you know, we're not going to run on top of each other, it'll be a NYRA race and then it'll be us and then it'll be a NYRA race. So we're going to make sure to do that, which obviously is a major thing. So we're super excited to get started. Like I said, 12:50 is the first race. In terms of the premier race days, NYRA Bets Haskell Day is number one. That will be Saturday, July 20th. And then I think this is the fourth year, if I'm not mistaken, of Haskell Preview Day, which is exactly what it sounds like. Basically every stakes race on Haskell Day has a prep race that we've all run now on Haskell Preview Day, which is June 15th. That's one of my favorite days. So that's the Saturday after the Belmont Stakes. And it's kind of a time of year where obviously with the Belmont, you know, that's basically a Breeders' Cup in the middle of the summer in terms of all the stakes races. Then there's a little lull just nationally. There's not that much going on big race wise. So we kind of found a little niche of, hey, you know, Haskell Day's coming up. We're going to run Haskell Preview Day in a time where nationally there's not that many big graded stakes races. So that's one of my favorite days, June 15th. And then on the contest front, as you said, we actually kick it right off from day one. We have a contest this Saturday, $300 on site only. We're awarding two NHC seats and also two seats to the aforementioned Pick Your Prize contest on June 1st. So the top five on Saturday get cash. The top four pick between either an NHC seat and a Pick Your Prize sheet. Seat, and as you said, that leads into the June 1st $2,000 Pick Your Prize handicapping challenge, where we will give out, knock on wood, probably 25 NHC seats. I think last year we gave out 8 BCBC seats and close to $100,000 in cash. We're trying to get over the 300 mark this year. We literally had 299 entries last year. So it was actually the perfect number, because it was a phenomenal number, you know, a record, you know, one of the highest totals that I've seen in any contest aside from, you know, the NHC and BCBC. So we were all thrilled with it. But being 299, it's still, you know, I think about 299 basically every day. It gives you that motivation of, you know, like, it's a big difference between 299 and 301. If we got 301, maybe I would have rested a little bit on my laurels. Not that I ever do that. But 299, you know, I'm up at night. I will do anything I possibly can.
I love it.
The 301 this year.
Well, we're going to give it the big push over here and get as many of our people playing as possible. For Pick Your Prize, what are the options for qualifying for it? What are the options for participating in it?
So Horse Tourneys is running feeders as we speak. Those will go through the day before Pick Your Prize. If I'm not mistaken, they have feeders every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which qualify you to Pick Your Prize. And then pretty much every other day of the week, they're running feeders to get you into the main feeder. So I feel like maybe $18, $27, one of those lowish price points can get you into the main feeder that can get you into Pick Your Prize. So a great opportunity. Horse Tourneys obviously does a great job, and they're running contests every day. In terms of if you want to buy your way in, again, it's $2,000. You're allowed two entries per person. You can play on site, you can play through ExpressBet, and you can play through TVG, FanDuel, whatever we're calling them these days. I guess FanDuel. but those are the, you know, obviously we would love to have everyone here on site. You know, we kind of set it up very similar to the NHC. We have a big banquet room. We do big round tables. They all have power. You know, you kind of come sit with your friends. We have a lunch buffet. The room overlooks the track, so you have a great view from inside. And then there's kind of adjacent areas for seating where you can just walk outside and watch the races if you want. So we would love to have as many people on site as possible, but totally recognizing the way of the world. If you're unable to get here and want to play online, we certainly have plenty of options for you, either through ExpressBet or FanDuel.
Is there any kind of on-site bonus, or is it more you're encouraged to come down just to enjoy what is always an awesome atmosphere?
There's no bonus for this one, to be totally honest. I am very, because of the success of Pick Your Prize, and I'm very forward with this, and I've told many, many players this who asked the same question. Because of the success and continued growth of Pick Your Prize, I'm very hesitant to change anything. I think this is maybe year 7, 8 of Pick Your Prize. About 3 or 4 years ago, we added doubles, I believe, which was pretty much, you know, industry standard now. That's literally been the only change we've made in this contest and it's in its existence, because again, knock on wood, it's just been doing so well. We do have, which we'll talk about later in the year, we have 2 August contests that are kind of the hybrid. You can play on site or you can play online. For those, we did have last year and we'll continue this year an on-site bonus. I feel like it was 25% on any cash prize that you win, you know, a bonus. You get an additional 25% if you're on site. So we definitely want to incentivize people to come here. We will do so in either financial or seat ways later in the year. But for this one, I'm nervous to upset the apple cart and do
I get it
because it's been doing so well.
Yeah, and it's a great experience, and I mean it sort of sells itself. The camaraderie at that event is amazing. It's not a hard sell generally to get people to want to do a Jersey Shore weekend at that time of year. I have had people complain about some of the commercial hotel options. Look into Airbnb if you're coming. You can find much better opportunities, I would say, than you know, look, there's some fine hotel options too. I don't know if you have a preferred partner in that regard, but be a little creative and it's worth coming from anywhere. And we're going to have fun. I'll be down again. I think I'm going to have Perrin in tow this year, which will be fun. Some of my local friends might try to encourage them to play in the contest. You know, maybe we can, maybe I can get some first time NHC or BCBC qualifiers, but it's consistently a great day out and nobody, and you know, look, I'll say it this way, because I don't want to offend anybody else, because there's other people who put on great contests, but nobody does a better job than Brian. You know, I feel like I'll mention Jim in conjunction with you, because I feel like you and Jim these days stand above, you know, everybody else. I mean, there's loads of other good people out there doing great stuff with contests. I feel like I'll have to shout out to Tyler Frausto as well. But in terms of guys who've really sort of shaped this category of contests, I mean, your name's right at the top of that list, Brian, and I'm really looking forward to working with you and making some more magic happen on the contest front. But of course, it's so much more than contest two that you have going on down there. Anything else, either wagering-wise or event-wise, that you want to plug, days people might want to circle on the calendar beyond the 4 that we've talked about so far?
Yeah, I would just, you know, put a double circle around Haskell Preview Day. You know, Haskell, Naira Betts Haskell Day, obviously July 20th, right in the heart of the summer. That's a premier race. But I really do like the Haskell Preview Day. It's kind of that post-Belmont. All right, everyone obviously will be watching now Saratoga this year for their Belmont Stakes Racing Festival. Then the next week comes and it's like, all right, I still want some action, but what else is out there? And you kind of look through the national stakes calendar and there's not that much. So we'll typically the last couple of years we have 4 stakes that day. We've usually put them back to back to back to back. So there'll be an all stakes pick 4, hopefully. It's all big time horses that are prepping for Naira Betts Haskell Day. That is the day that I would double circle. And again, not to be the marketing guy, but you know, every day of the year, especially now that we have that cross country pick 5, you know, that even takes the opportunity where, you know, let's be realistic. You know, we're not going to have a phenomenal, no track does, you know, a phenomenal card every single day of the year. So maybe if there's a day where, all right, you know, this card is, you know, not the best, there's only, you know, there's 2 or 3 really solid races, you know, well now we can take those 2 or 3 really solid races, combine them with the best races on the card from Naira. And hey, now you have a sequence of 5 unbelievable races just because, you know, we're teaming up with a premier, you know, racetrack, and we can take our premier races, combine them with theirs. And now there's a sequence that you can't not bet. So that's what I'm excited about, just adding an everyday option that has never been there before.
Got to see. Maybe we'll get to see if JK can put his hand up to come down and work for Pick Your Prize and maybe get him back in that contest or something. I'm very excited to be following this meet. We'll have ads periodically and or you back periodically to point out anything else special that's going on in terms of events, et cetera. And I have an idea. We'll talk about off air for something else fun we might be able to do for the Haskell preview day, because I do think that's a really interesting spot on the calendar. It's actually usually, I think last year I covered it from England. This year it's the day before I leave, the way it pairs up with Ask It. But that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be pushing the heck out of that, pushing the heck out of Pick Your Prize. I think that covers all of my main points. Is there anything we left out, Brian, that people need to know ahead of this year's Monmouth Park meet?
There is, and it's all me. I'm still getting back into the live racing portion of the year and remembering what all that we actually do. So speaking of Haskell Preview Day, we actually do have – so that's not a live money contest day for us. We have Pick Your Prize, like you said, June 1st, and then we have a contest on Haskell Day, July 20th. Those are live money contests. But last year, for the first time, we did an online contest through Horse Tourneys, which we're doing again this year. I think it's like a $1 buy-in, but you get your dollar back at the end. So technically it's free, even though you have to put up a dollar. And it's the normal pick and pray format on Horse Tourneys. Every race on Haskell Preview Day, and the top five finishers will get an entry into the $1,000 Haskell Day contest. So we did that last year. And we're doing that again this year. So just another, pop to that Haskell Preview Day.
Love that. We'll provide coverage of that as well, and it should be a ton of fun. Brian, really appreciate you coming on here, and we'll be talking to you throughout the season.
Sounds good, Pete. We'll talk to you, and hopefully we'll see you very soon down here.
No doubt about it. Peter Thomas Fornital with a special presentation for our friends at Monmouth Park. Racing at the Jersey Shore resumes this weekend. They start off running Saturdays and Sundays. They're going to add Friday before too long. We're going to be covering it every week over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. And we're covering this kickoff show right here on YouTube as well. And to do this show with me, I bring in a man who'll be there live on Saturday. Still debating whether or not I'm going to take the boat down and join him. He is Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, JK?
What's going on? Yeah, I was going to take the boat, but to get from the west side to the east side, and then by the time you get down there, it takes forever. I was going to take the train, but oddly, the train that actually drops off at Monmouth, it's only like about an hour and 30 minutes from Penn Station, doesn't run on Saturday, which is weird to me.
Very weird.
I'm just going to drive because it's going to be the fastest way.
Can I get a ride, or are you already full?
No, you meet me up here. You can roll for sure.
Yeah, I would be willing to. That could actually be fun. Production meeting in the middle of the show. Transportation meeting in the middle of the show. This is the kind of thing we're known for over at the In the Money Media Network. Let's dive in and talk about some of these races, JK. We're going to start talking about race number 6 on this card. We've got a $12,000 claimer going a mile and a 16th on the turf. Fingers crossed that we are going to be on the turf for this opening race. One caught my fancy ahead of the others in here, and I'll kick it off with number 4, Gliding a Fleet. Just thought this horse had some back class on turf, in decent form, thought was stuck against the flow in the most recent race, and should get a good run through from just off the pace in a race where it looks like there is plenty of speed signed on. Gliding a Fleet, the forerunner, the one that I'm the most interested in here. How do you see this 6th race at Monmouth on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm going to use 2 to get started here. I'm going to use the 4 Gliding a Fleet that you mentioned. The last 2 runs were on synthetic. The last 3 runs, the good runs, were on synthetic. But you do look back. This horse has run on the turf 6 times, 2 wins. So you know the turf's not going to be a problem. So I definitely want to have Gliding a Fleet. I also want to have the 1 Restored Order. I'm going to kind of forgive that last race. Didn't run well, was bet. Didn't run well that day. Kelly Breen, can make some noise on the Jersey Shore. I'm going to go back to those races that are 4 races back. This horse can find that run 4 races back. Should be able to win this one for fun. I like tactical horses that draw inside. They can get those kind of nice, comfortable inside pocket trips, or they can just go ahead and go to the front. I'll use the 1 and the 4 to get started.
Next up, we have the Long Branch Stakes. 3-year-old stakes action, a traditional prep for the Haskell. We're going a mile and 70 yards on the dirt. JK, we'll keep this one with you. Who wins the Long Branch Stakes?
Yeah, I mean, Heartened looks like a horse that's improving on the rail on the inside. You get Todd Pletcher, you get Paco. And a horse that doesn't have a lot of tactical speed from the inside, which I think is what makes me the most nervous about taking him. It likely would be a short price. I want to have Heartened. I also want to have the 5 Crazy Mason, who I thought ran well, had a pretty tricky trip last time, was wide all the way around there, trying to close into a slow pace. So I'm going to forgive that. And then as a B horse, I'll use the 7 Lonesome Boy, who I thought ran okay last time and has run okay the last couple of starts. The biggest issue is just like, anytime I see a horse that's 80-1, it's like no one can get creative and figure out a way for Lonesome Boy to win the Wood Memorial. But I do think that getting back in a lower level stake is going to help Lonesome Boy quite a bit. I'll use that horse as a B. So I'll go 1-5 as A's. I'll use the 7 as B's. And you could have made a hunch play with the 6, Pete, but I guess you decided you're gonna.
I actually like that horse. That's a perfect segue to me. Definitely a hunch streak with C Streak. That's the name of the boat that takes you down there. Blown away by Knightsbridge off that brief break. But now I thought, having worked 4 times since with a couple of those works looking nice, I think this horse is going to get a great trip in the second flight and goes with a chance in this spot. You mentioned Lonesome Boy. I do have a fear scenario that Lonesome Boy just proves the best speed on this dropping class. I wouldn't mind covering him either. 6-7 for me, 1-5 with 7 as a backup for JK as we pivot to our discussion of the hinge of this pick 5. It's a 3-year-old filly allowance race on the grass going 1/16 on the turf, a race that I thought was notable because it doesn't have a whole lot in the way of pace, and that led me to wanting to take a shot with the number 4, High Stick, who I thought was an interesting wire threat for Shug McGahey. Last time out, won the pace battle and lost the war. That was a stronger group in a race where she could have a possible pace edge. I think High Stick is the hunch play for the NHL playoffs. How do you see this 8th race?
Yeah, I'm a Rangers fan, clearly. I hung out the other night and watched the Rangers go to overtime, and I know that most people probably don't want to believe that I know a little bit about hockey, but I do know a little bit about hockey. You should be ashamed of yourself for thinking that I don't. You know what I'm saying. Look, I think the 4 High Stick is very interesting. I'm going to spread here. The 5 Gray Vixen I'll use as well, who I thought has been running pretty well, but just hasn't been able to get there. I'll use the 7 and the 8 for Chad Brown. Look, when Chad shows up anywhere, even in New York, especially when he leaves New York, he always gets a little bit over bet. But I also don't believe that that's a true statement, because is he really overbet? Because he wins a lot of races. I just don't necessarily love or trust these two, but they could jump up and improve, and I got to have them if I'm spreading in here. The 9, Lady Madonna, is another one that I'll use in here. Don't have a strong opinion. I'm going to try to catch something here. Some of the cuter opinions live elsewhere in the sequence.
Lay Madonna would make it a very different type of show, JK. Are we dividing into A's and B's, or are we just playing those 5 pretty equally?
Yeah, I'm going to try to use them equally, like we talked about on the Naira Pick 6 show that we did. When you have favorites that you need to use but don't love, I don't like giving them that A push and having the other horses kind of be B's. The equity to me is that I don't love these two horses, so why not make them more equal to the higher priced horses in a sequence. Now, if you love an A horse, you're supposed to definitely, or I love a horse, you're supposed to definitely use that horse as an A and then kind of have some backups on the Bs. But I've got no problem using those horses equally.
We move on to the next race where we see some Jersey Breds competing in race number 9. So for me, the angle with these sort of state bred programs, when they come back and most of the field hasn't run since the last state bred race was run, I look for horses with recency first. I'm not always going to pick one with recency. Obviously, if it's a barn that specializes in getting horses ready off the layoff, I'm not saying I won't bet those, but the two that came to mind here for me were both recency plays, thinking they might have a fitness edge. The number 5, Bustin' Down Doors, has a recent race and looks like she should be the best speed. That might be enough against this group with so many layoff questions. But the 7, Summer's Coming, might just be better on synth and turf. But I will try here with the thought that Tampa race might have really just been a prep for this. 6 on the dirt should suit her. 2nd off the layoff now. Race could be run in a favorable manner for her as well, as I think she's going to have no choice to close. They're going to run away from her early. She could keep plugging along late. Dropping class, more than a hunch play. We talked about hunch play with C Streak. Summer's Coming, another good opportunity for a hunch play I'm going to go 5-7. Before we bring you in, JK, just do want to put out a call. If you're watching on YouTube especially, give us your thoughts on this Monmouth card. Let us know what your play of the day is. And or if you're listening to this on the audio version, go over to YouTube and get in the comments there. It's just you get a lot livelier conversations we found over on YouTube than you get comments-wise on social media or on the blog post for the show. So go to YouTube, subscribe to the channel, and let us know what you think of this card. JK, what do you think of this Jersey Bred affair?
Yeah, while you're doing all that, I should have counted these horses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm going to use the 5 busting down doors as well. A horse that has a lot of early speed, has a nice final figure, so there's really not a whole lot to add. This is a horse that I basically have to have in any situation. I'm going to use the 1 Bella Fast. Another horse that drew the rail, has a little bit of early speed, but there's one thing I really like about Bella Fast is the last time she earned a number that was very competitive with all of these, it's when she was a 2-year-old. You can expect maybe a 10 to 12 point buyer speed figure improve when a horse goes from 2 to 3. She comes in off of a little bit of a break. The other thing I like is when a horse that has tactical speed that may or may not show it draws the rail, because then I know what's going to happen. She's going to send away from there. I think she'll get overtaken by the 5, and then she could end up in that perfect stocking pocket position. I'm going to try to get away with just using the 1 and the 5 here.
Okay, 1 and 5 for JK, and I'm actually, wait a second. Yeah, 1 and 5 for you, 5 and 7 for me. The lack of numbers is off-throwing. I'm sure no one has any sympathy for us given what we get to do for a living, but it makes you think when you're on air in a way that leads to some strange little preambles like the one that I'm in the midst of as we pivot to the last race of the day where we see Nickel Claimers, real bread and butter stuff, 1 mile and 70 yards here. We're going to figure out how we get paid in all of these late pick bets. JK, who will be on your tickets in this nightcap?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the 1, Wandering West, a horse that just from a figure standpoint makes a lot of sense. The 2, King of Hollywood. It's a claim back for Greg Sacco. So I love a claim back. I think that when you enter a horse, you lose the horse, and then you go back and get the horse. I think it says a lot about what trainers might think about horses. And I do think especially this horse ran well last time too. So I like the fact that this horse is getting claimed back. And then I'm going to use the far outside horse, the 8, Coco Shell, as a B horse. I hate the last race. And frankly, it's one that makes me not trust the horse much, but the race 2 back makes the horse very competitive. So I just have to, in case this horse runs back to that, I got to make sure I'm protected as a B horse. I'll use Coco Shell as a B.
1, 2, and 8 for JK. I'll pause on a bit of jargon, good jargon that JK threw in there, because it was the angle that I used too in determining my pick here with this number 2, King of Hollywood. In the claiming game, which is, you know, the bread and butter of racing, where every horse is for sale in every race, it really does say a lot when a trainer loses, or sometimes a trainer loses a horse and they have a low key party. They were happy to move that one on because they didn't think the horse was that good anyway. When it's the opposite and they say, wait a second, I know what this horse is capable of. I know the condition book coming up at my local track, in this case, Monmouth Park. I want this one back because I think we can win some races this meet. And then they reach back in and go get that horse. It can mean something for sure. And so Sacco, a guy who wins plenty of races down around there, taking this one back makes a lot of sense. I also thought this horse has decent local form and might even be able to be loose on the lead. The other one I'll mention is a kind of horse I don't like to bet, I'll be honest with you. But in the modern game, sometimes these seeming give-ups where the horse is just dropping so far in class, with certain trainers especially, they need to be respected. So Empire Ride, the 4, a very tricky read as what I would call a giveaway for Wayne Potts. Not a horse that can be trusted, but a horse that fits on figures and form, and one that will be on my tickets. JK, appreciate you, buddy. If you're looking for more from us, go wherever you get your podcasts, In the Money Podcast, In the Money Players Podcast. Go over to YouTube. Give us a quick closing thought as we end this little segment.
Yeah, just hit that train on Saturday morning, Pete. You know, 59th, the Columbus Street station's right there. You pop on over. We'll hop in the car. We'll go down. It'll be fun. We can do production meetings all the way down there.
We'll be kicking it old school, my friend. Great stuff, JK. I will see you on the Upper West Side as we then head to the Jersey Shore.
That's going to do it for this edition of the show. I'd like to thank Brian Skirka and JK for their contributions, our founding partners, 10 Strike Racing, and our charity partner, Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga. We appreciate them very much. I already thanked all of you at the beginning of the show, so I don't need to do it again. No, I'm kidding. Thanks, though, most of all, to all of you, the listeners, for making these shows so much fun to do. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. I'm Peter Thomas Fornatel. May you win all your photos. Just me.